Welcome, everyone, to our Thursday night Stargate Roundtable. We're happy to have all of you with us, and we look forward to a very interesting evening. A lot of good things happening, and Judy Beebe will be our guest. She has some new information she wants to share with us about what's happening with the energy and the balls that she is creating, as well as other energy development. So that'll be our second hour. To begin, we are having this evening, our dear Angel Sue is going to open the call for us. So, Angel Sue, I pass the talking stick to you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we welcome all of you in the light of the most radiant one and the light of God that never, never fails. And in the office of the Christ, and only in the office of the Christ, we are invoking the loving energies of Saint Germain and the violet flame. And come now into your quiet spot, your heart chamber. Where you can allow the frequencies and the vibrations of the day just to fall away. And find that calm, still point. That heart space is a wonderful arena to help reorganize yourself and the world. So as you are there, just allow your breathing to come in and fill your lungs. And on the out-breath, be aware that it is blending with all of Earth. That we can allow and celebrate all the beloved beings in our life. Those that are here and those that have gone beyond the veil. We're losing a lot of sweethearts of the light in many directions, but it's going to be working out just fine for all of them. Tara and Rama have told us that Mother Sekhmet has allowed the decision for them to come back if they choose, ever since 9/11. Now, that's been quite some time, but we feel presence, if you allow it, of those beloved ones, many times checking in. So if you will connect now with your heart, with your higher self, with your beloved twin flame, call in the rest of your support team, of your guides, your masters, your teachers, your angels, your councils of light. And as this welcome energy reunion, this work that you do with all of them, all those from the lighted realms that celebrate your path here, just intend that the in-breath brings in more love, and the out-breath every time spreads more gratitude. Put that on autopilot and look and see what's going on inside yourself. See what can be celebrated, what can be calibrated, what can be harmonized, and what can be released from your head down to your toes. And let what can be released go into Mother Earth, the center. Into that beautiful blue cobalt blue sun in the center of the earth. And as the energy is received, Mother blesses it and sends it back to you. It'll come up high, high, and enter in through your shoulders and recirculate again. And as you set your intent to be one with all there is. Let the energy within you also bring down blessings from the great central sun that you're anchored in, into the middle of Earth and up to home, the great central sun, forming a beautiful infinity sign with you right there in the center. Once again, intend that that keep on going through you to receive the blessings and the inspiration, the illumination, the guidance, and the direction that you require to live your life in supreme happiness, supreme harmony, divine grace, divine love. And that all will shift and change as it needs to for your situation, for your hopes, your dreams. And you might even want to think about how in the past you have felt just amazing, wonderful, so in harmony, so in balance, so delighted, happy. We'll do the peace breath. Just take a breath in. And on the out breath, somewhere in that area, say the word peace and play that memory, allowing it to magnify and anchor in even deeper and sweeter, more real than ever you've experienced before. Peace. Letting that drift through every cell and every atom, every bit of you. Peace. And so with a joyful heart, think about the people you claim in your life. Your support team here. Family, friends, acquaintances. Those that you have loved in the past. Those that are here in the present, those that we anticipate coming soon in the future. From many kingdoms, call them in, many dimensions. Anything that you're aware of that's going on with this planet and beyond. And let's celebrate with praise, respect, thanks, and love that they find their highest happiness, highest and most wonderful healing and grace. Even those that we call the black hats, along with the white hats. You might think of Nasara, the Reformation Act, our faction three white knights, our galactic forces of light. All of us that are involved in weaving the Nasara reality here and now, holding that energy and celebrating it, accepting it, and cherishing it, that we are in holding that place of Nasara, bringing balance into our world. And with that, we're going to call in the law of one as we praise, respect, and thank ourselves for even thinking about it, and all those that we celebrate their path here, because it's a wonderful opportunity to reclaim ourselves as the divine child. And so with the law of one, we call in all beings, known and unknown, seen and unseen, throughout this time and all time and space, all parallels, all potentials, all creation. Finding the most wonderful connection within us all, the oneness at one meant. And we're saying we are all one. And when one is harmed, then all are harmed. As one is helped, then all are helped. Therefore, in the name of who we are, and we are one with all there is, we claim this opportunity to recalibrate all of us into the perfect solution and the highest, most supreme happiness. That heaven on earth be here now, and we call for the highest good of all concerned, every person, place, condition, and thing, all of it. And with grateful hearts, 13 thank yous, we say this is wonderful, lifted up, and keep improving it, dear beloved ones, the avatars, the masters, the angels. And so it is. We are all one, and we say all men, all women, all children, all beings, all creation, at that, at one ment. Thank you very much, Marita Robert. I pass the talking stick.
Well, thank you, Angel Sue. We're happy that you could be with us here this evening. And our dear little brain bird, I thought she was at a retreat, but I see that she may be online too, so I'm asking... are you ready to speak, Rainbird, or are you just listening?
No, I'm here. My retreat is until next week.
Oh, okay. I got my calendars mixed up, didn't I? Oh, well, I'm
That's happy.
That you're here. And what would you like to share with us about what's coming up this week?
Well, I'm here doing the Mayan calendar, which is a 3T me today. And,
right.
And next week on the 3 September is when I'm not going to be here. So I think, you know, you were close. You were close. We got three
close
going
doesn't
on.
Count. This is horseshoes.
Oh, well. Yeah, so I am looking forward to do Vision Quest next week, and so I won't be here next week. But I am here this week, and we are right in those portal days that are right in the middle of this gulfing matrix that we walk through, these 260-day cycles. And so we're here on the right side of that core, that center, with these 10 days, and it represents the right side of our body. So we might be feeling things shifting within these portal days in the right side of our body, or you might just be aware of that, you know. Each one of the portal days represents a part of our body, and this is the organs coming up from the lower to the higher. As you look at the matrix, you see the higher one is actually the lower. Kind of, when you look at it, you see it in the form of a human being lying down on the earth looking up at the sky, and you know where your body parts are. So keep that in mind, and it represents those 13 major parts, and the 20 digits are there to represent the 20. So it's a body formation in the 260-day cycle of the gestation. And so we're in the year of Ish, in the wave of Khan is the seed. And in this wave, which we started on Tuesday, it's just really Angel Sue's words about the harmony that we seek and the peace and where we are. This wave is coinciding with those energies. And so we open ourselves to the fertile richness that life offers. This is my teacher Zoe speaking. The seed is the beginning, the first step of the sacred path of self-determination. Within the choices you have through your own individuation, you always seek the path of harmony. Be open to the memory of potential, the possibility of creating a unique language with the help of the creator light. In your hand and heart, you hold the flower of possibility or limitation. Timing is the key to receiving your goal. You can utilize the natural forces to regulate the rhythms of movement and change for yourself. So these are these energies we're working with the Khan, the seed, the healer energy, that openness to life, self-determination, harmony seeking and timing, and the potential of creation. So it's remembered, do not have any limitation on your potential, and you'll do all right. So on this three, we're with Kimi, that linker of worlds. So today we're in that first portal day, and so it's representing probably the lowest organs in our bodies in terms of our height, our vertical aspect. So like first chakra, second chakra, the linker of worlds, that warrior aspect with the three energy of cadence, it's electric, it's activation. And so we're doing this warrior work, and our tasks are forgiveness and moving into a state of grace. So we have these gifts of being the world bridger and being that bridge between the past and the future and the gift of transmutation to work with. So let's remember these aspects as we do our work this evening on this call. And then tomorrow, another portal day, of course, and it's the four Monique, the hand, that four energy, self-existing, self-existing healing hand. It's a very healing aspect. Use this energy for doing your healing work, and it's also the deer, which is it's about healing the self and others and creating contentment and peace and acceptance of the divinity of yourself. So do all those things tomorrow with that energy. And then on Saturday, we're working with the five Lamotte, that stargate. Oh, good. With that set of energy, that spectral overtone. So work with that stargate, with it. Overtone energy. It's a visionary aspect, and it's about the illumination of humankind and opening the stargate. It's a good day for journeying and working with your pioneer spirit. You have the power to see beyond the stargate. So great day to be on the call on Saturday with Prior and Rama, working with that galactic energy. And then on Sunday, we have Maluk. And it's the sixth tone. Another portal day. We're just doing one after the other. So we're really working the energy that's coming to us. So that's that rhythmic energy with the moon, the artist aspect on Sunday. And so it's a totally the quality with the sixth tone and it's about the wise use of rational mind and working with our telepathic gifts and stepping spirit's direction, all these good moon energies. I think it's also a full moon that day. I'm not sure. I don't have a moon calendar, but I'm pretty sure
it is. You're right.
Yeah. Okay. And then on Monday, a seven oak, the dog energy, that unconditional love with that great seven energy of being that midpoint, that top of the mountain place, that inspirational attunement happening on Monday, very, very sweet, with that dog, unconditional love energy of the dog. And so enjoy that Monday, and on Tuesday, it's an eight chewing. Enjoy, we can work with that monkey energy, with that eight, fine-tuning, harmonic, resonance, galactic energy, and chewing that magic, working with the magical artistry and balancing work and play. So Tuesday looks like a good day. And then on Wednesday, yet another portal day, as we are. It's the human Eve, nine Eve, and nine is the greater cycle, completion and expansion. And Eve is with the human. So it's our It's our healer aspect. It's about the enlightenment of humankind, activating cosmic consciousness and attunement to spirit. We do that on Wednesday with those energies, nine energies, and then on Thursday when we come back, it's a 10 bend, which is manifesting that Skywalker warrior aspect and that focus with our journey and striving towards self-illumination. And we have strength and with this energy and the ability to bend dimensions. So lots of fun on Thursday, too. It's a powerful week. And it's just a lot going on, and just pay attention and stay tuned in. And it'll be enjoyable, I'm sure. If it's not grace, it's ease. That's the way I look at polarity these days. And next week I'm going to be at Vision Quest, and we'll be on right there with all these energies, working with all those portals as we go through these days in that Vision Quest way. So there you go. I passed the talking stick back to you, Marita.
Well, we'll tune in to you next week, not with the physical, but on the etheric. And we just know that you'll have a wondrous time being with all these like-minded people. That having that kind of retreat is such a wondrous experience. So really good. The next, I want to do a short, brief memorial here for our dear friend Annie Rose. You know, I've been trying to reach her the last couple weeks, and I finally did get to talk to her son this week. And 2 weeks ago, she made her transition. You know, she had had some small heart attacks before, and that's what had caused her to be in the hospital. And she was in rehab from January until just 6 weeks ago. And so she has been home here, but she hasn't been, I knew as I talked with her that she wasn't back to her normal self, but hopefully her progress was going to continue. But her son told me that she did have another heart attack and made a transition this time. So we honor all the wondrous information that she gave us and all the connections we had with her. And we are asking that we continue with those connections, but just on another plane of expression. So I pass the talking stick next to Tara and Rama. And we'd like to know, Rama, what have you been doing out there this week?
Hello.
Okay.
Greetings. I'm just saying, you know, it's pretty hairy out there, Harry and Larry and Curly and Mo.
Yeah.
Yet, it's the nature of what time it is where we're in here. I mean, on the I Ching level, they're saying it's not time to move forward. And I'll just say that there's some serious things going on, especially with the migration situation. Today there was a truck on an Austrian highway on the way to Vienna that was found with up to 50 dead, assumed to be migrants, and that they are saying... It made me think of Afghan massacre, a convoy of death, because it was one of those great big semi-trucks. And it was completely locked, and they were all locked in there. And it was left on the side of the road. And so the police and the fire department, all these people came because there was blood coming out from there. And it was very not smelling good. And so they found up to 50 dead bodies in there. And they said that they were so far decomposed that it was at least some days that they'd been in there completely suffocated. So what is now pushed to shove is they had a summit now in Vienna itself, the European Union, and they were dealing with the Balkan states and even considering expanding so that the Balkan states could be part of the European Union. But the idea of creating a quota for every country in the European Union to handle the amount of refugees that are coming. And, of course, the real problem is that it's the United States that started all the situations in the Middle East where they can't stay in their countries anymore.
Yes, we are the empire.
We are the instigators. And Pepe Le Pew was up there on the news today, you know, Mr. LaPierre, head of NRA. And we're having our same similar problems over here. Yet the shooting yesterday morning, 6:45 in the morning, of two a cameraman and a reporter, young lady, 20, she was 24 and he was 27, on television in Virginia there. And then him posting all the film footage, 56-second footage of the live thing he just did. And, you know, saying he was waiting to explode. He was a bomb ready to explode. And he had been fired 2 years before, and he was very angry. And so this was his revenge. And then there was a car chase, and then the police caught up with he crashed, and they found that he had shot himself. So later on, he died from the wound. And there was a third, the one that was being interviewed from the Chamber of Commerce there, which is associated with the Koch brothers, and nonetheless, she was a more sedate, older lady. She was, I can't remember how old she was. I didn't think they said. He was 41. So the thing is that there's this debate about gun laws now again, and that we're the only country of all the developed countries in the world that have this overwhelming, uncontrollable situation with more guns than any country in the world on our streets, unregulated, basically. Yes. Really, unregulated. So, and then our migrant thing came up on today's news too, ours, and they've been finding more and more bodies, and they're being found with inside black garbage bags and white garbage bags with twisty ties all over the deserts, you know, and, you know, it's not much different. That's got to be, you know, a trafficker that was carrying those folks that were in the truck in Austria. And that's the same circumstance here. We have traffickers that are bringing the migrants in, and as soon as they get the money, they just drop them. They don't carry through.
Right.
And so, again, on either side of this pond, in Europe or in the United States, to have legal roads, inroads everywhere so that migrants can migrate. And the circumstances are the same for slightly different reasons. Over here, it's because these people cannot be safe in their countries. And that's because of the United States over here, too, because we are the ones that all these drug gangs and police playing the same game are fighting for money for, and they want to use the people as scapegoats and for nothing.
It's a turnstile.
Yeah, and it's the same thing with our immigration, not going after the...
cha-ching!
Not going after the, no, the employees for hiring under the table immigrants so that they can pay them nothing, basically, to work 12, 16 hours a day from 8 years old on up. That's not acceptable. And don't think twice. It's going on in Europe, too.
Yes.
Germany does not have a minimum wage. So there are people that are working for $2 and $3 an hour in Germany. And they're usually people that they consider in a different class than others that are in their countries. And Pat, we're going to play Patty Kolo-Robles for about 15 minutes. She's talking about, I am returning to Christ, my Christ consciousness. And that's really what's got to happen here. That's really what's actually happening. And the powers of the old order have been dragging their wagons very much so. And so this is the result, and it's in its extreme right now. So, Rama, you got some messages today.
Yes. I talked with Tom the Cat on the text messaging, and he basically just said, you know,
the lunatic.
Yes, go ahead.
Fringe clown car. What's going on now with the lunatic fringe clown car is Donald Trump is driving it, and he's not really funny.
No,
he is engendering. Heightened states, you know, David Duke just thought he was a great guy now.
He's aiding and abetting the fascist ideas out there.
And the Walter Cronkite of the Spanish network, Jorge Ramos, was insulted and thrown out of, you know, and
the press conference.
And rebuked and said he was screaming. He wasn't screaming. And, there was some side when he was ushered outside that was saying, get out of my country. I mean,
he was rude. Yes.
All I'm saying is there's more where that came from. And it's, and you know, our younger children, you know, the Koch brothers changed the books,
all the textbooks.
And they're saying, well, it's about, you know, states' rights. And it's never been about states' rights, the Civil War. It's always been about, you know, at the time of the Civil War, black people were not even considered human.
Yep.
And even after that Emancipation Proclamation, they still only had to be considered as three-fifths of a person. And, you know, it wasn't until 1965 where black people got their right to vote without being harassed, as in Selma, as in what Oprah Winfrey played when she was being tested, you know. And do you know the 64 heads of your districts in your state or whatever?
How many jelly beans are in the jar? And by the way, I'll just add this little slice. Hitler and all his top SS, the evil ones that played around with Kohotep, they studied what we did to the Native Americans in this country, you know, before the Civil War, and as the, you know, the territories spread out from the east to the west, called the so-called Indian Wars, where we basically ethnically cleansed the Native Americans and the buffalo and all the other life forms.
Well,
need I say any more?
Over about 100 years, we, with the doctrine of discovery from the Catholic Church, which stated as the missionaries were not able to convert the people, then they would be considered as though they were animals.
Yes.
And they could be shot and killed and had on your dinner plate. And 160 million just in the United States, when you get over the whole 100-year, slightly more than 100-year period, were killed under that law. That law was put in place, that doctrine was put in place in 1452, 50 years before the fake Christopher Columbus that came and got hired by the Vatican, basically, through Spain come here and discover America, when Prince Nicholas Ypsilantis, a Greek sailor, he came before the Doctrine of Discovery to this.
Yes.
And actually discovered it, and that was really Saint Germain.
To sum it up, Tom the Cat basically just said the 13 families have nowhere to go except for desperate measures, extremely desperate measures, desperate times.
Yeah, he said, is Trump going to stop for the train? Or is he going to try to beat the train? And then, well, what's the train? The train is the whole progressive wing of the Democratic Party, including our millennials, meaning generations X, Y, and Z, the baby boomers, us, who woke up, who used to be the flower children of peace and love and did not get caught in the yuppie puppy in Yuppie Puppyville, or did get caught and then corrected their course. An example he gave was Tom Shadyac, who broke his neck on a motorcycle mountain bike, and he made the movie I Am. Then he sold his mansion and he bought a mobile home, RV sort of thing to live in. And then he learned to walk again. And he also made the movie Bruce Almighty, another one of us, Jim Carrey. And remember, Jim Carrey went to study at the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi Institute in Switzerland, and he graduated his four-year degree in Transcendental Meditation. That's amazing. And yet he was one of the wealthy visionaries, you know, that did his work. And he played in that movie, he played God for a day, and it freaked him out. And remember, God was being played all in white, Mr. Morgan Freeman, another one of us. And again, those of us who are older than that, that are sitting around here, they are progressives that came in even earlier, which made it even harder. It's much harder before the bomb. Yes. And, you know, we came in right after the bomb. But when you came in before the bomb, that generation was looking, you know, four generations before that.
The silent generation.
All the things that happened all the way back to after the Emancipation Proclamation until the bomb, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they always said that the bomb was the crack in the cosmic egg.
Because that alerted the galactic folks in the hood that just said, I don't think so.
No way, Jose. And so
what were
then,
you saying, what were you saying about Morgan Freeman? I didn't follow the train.
Okay, Tom Shadyac. He made two movies that were mentioned here.
He made
more than two movies, but the two movies that Tom the Cat was referring to was the first one was called I Am, and then the second one was called God, Bruce Almighty. And then I brought Morgan Freeman up because Morgan Freeman played God in that movie, Bruce Almighty, all dressed in white. And he's one of us too, even though Morgan Freeman's older.
Yeah.
And that's what made me go to the next theme, that as you're sitting on this call, then you're one of the, you know, you just came in earlier than everybody else, and you took a bigger bite off of the you know, the challenge, you might say. So that
I'll tell you the next one of the next things that Morgan Freeman is doing is in the whole month of October, a 9-country National Geographic documentary on the religions. And the reason I know about this is that my grandson called me this week and said, "Hey, guess what I just got hired for?" And he's one of the, awesome. There's 9 people on the crew. And I wasn't excited to hear about where they were going to go traveling. I mean, if they're going to India and Egypt and Turkey and Israel and all of these places, I thought, oh, that's, but that's what the documentary is about. And so that's his next venture, right, that's coming up here in just another month.
Oh, my God. Well, we got to put him in the circle of support and wrap that violet flame everywhere and take the whole crew with him. But that is going to be one awesome job.
And right, it is.
I am totally sure there will be some protections.
Yeah, Morgan Freeman's one of us.
When do they start that filming journey?
He's going to be gone the whole month of October. So about a month from now.
Okay, well, you know, we got to go back to Mahala Gale, who was saying that the entire global financial system and government system of old will be all gone. And we'll be in a brand new financial system, a brand new systems of governing, brand new religious approach. And, you know, that means that they're going to have quite an interesting time if they're going to do stuff on
Allah.
Yes.
I wonder how soon are we going to have all this new system? That's what everybody wants to know.
Well, Mahala Gale says it starts in September.
Okay.
Sagittarius goes into, Saturn goes into Sagittarius, and that's the trigger point.
And to actually say this first moon coming up here, this next full moon, starts the cosmic dance towards the end of September. This first moon coming up is a super moon.
Right? Yes, it is. That's the last of the series of 4 blood moons.
Well, somebody said that this...
And that's the last of that, and it's the super moon. And those blood moons were all on basically Jewish feast days.
That's right.
And so is this one.
So what's coming up here is, you know... I would just say we are going to have peace with Iran, and they're
they won't give you dates.
No, they won't.
The Jewish feast day, the Jewish feast day is Sukkot.
Right, Sukkot. Yeah.
This time.
And when is that?
The 28th of September on that fourth and final blood moon.
And Yahoo would like to have everything turn out in his favor. Okay.
Well, there's this. I mean, well, the Omina, who is always our guest on the third Thursday, she is actually coming to Indiana. So I'll mention this in case there's anybody in this area that wants to meet her and see her here. She's going to come on the 10th of September. And then on the 11th, we're going to have a gathering here at our Stargate Recreation Center. And it'll be where you can come and individuals can ask questions. And it'll be only limited to 7 or 8 people because everybody will get to ask questions. And then Saturday, she's going to be doing private readings all day. So she's going to be here from Thursday till Sunday, the 10th to the 14th of September. So just mention that in case there's people in Indiana here who would like to see her in person. We're going to be having that here too. So it seems like there's a lot going on at least in my world, not only in the farming, I mean, there's so much I got to deal with there, but in it seems like in the esoteric stuff, there's just stuff bubbling up everywhere, too. So it's just activity, activity.
Yes, and there are 33 things plus Dr. Keshi, making 34 things going on in September alone. So you're just bringing up a whole plethora of stuff. And so I'll go real quick through those, just real quick. Mark, these are things that are known. He said, I've heard all kinds of other stuff. And this is actually a Faction 2 reporting station, so they go to the wrong direction at the end. They say, pack your food and get underground in your bunkers and
get
all.
Get your bullets.
No, no, and no. So September 1st is, you know, marks the beginning of FEMA's annual National Preparedness Month. And September 2nd, 7th is Labor Day. September 11th is the 14th anniversary, 7 plus 7, as in St. Germain twice, of 9/11. September 11th is the last day also of trading on Wall Street before the end of the Shemitah year. Let me just explain briefly. Shemitah represents this practice, which has got to do with 7 times 7 as well, where every seventh year, you leave your land fallow, except for one quarter of it. You have food for the birds and the animals so that they can live on that for the year.
Right.
That you don't plant anything else, you know, for yourself or et cetera like that. Just putting it that way. And so then what happens is after 7 of those years, then you come to the 49th year, and you do that for that year. And then the 50th year, you have a debt jubilee, and you start all over again.
Right.
And so that's what we're seeing happening, because this is, I believe, the 7th of those 7 times 7 Shemitahs.
Yes, and the way Mr. Yahoo and his gang over there in the fake country Israel, they are expecting their Messiah to show up. And there are also stories out there, and I will just say that Lord Maitreya is here, but it's not the fake Maitreya.
Not the Antichrist.
That's right.
Okay, so September 12th then is Madonna's Rebel Heart Tour opening in the United States, the first stop in Washington, D.C., according to Holly Deo. And it's the opening theme is Desecration of the Bride and Arrival of Fallen Angels. So this is the dark side playing on that. Yet Madonna knows what time it is. She knows all about Nassara. She's part of the NGOs, of the 500,000 NGO formations. And what she's, I don't know what that thing's going to be about, but she's definitely going to be pointing out what it's all about. And I'm not going to say because I don't know.
Yeah, Madonna is pretty blatant in her statement.
We just know that the Nazi collaborators of the Republican Party want to make sure that the female doesn't get anywhere. Let's put it that way.
Tara, what does the NGO mean? I don't know what that is.
Non-governmental organizations, and they're all created inside the International Criminal Court. And since the wealthy visionaries have been starting to receive their blessings, starting back in 1996 through 1999, they were given that ahead of time, and their responsibility was to go all over the world and set up under that NGO, non-governmental organizational title inside the International Criminal Court, places all over the world so that they can be contributed to and also on the ground set up, build schools,
hospitals.
Nice.
Yes.
Rehab centers for our vets. like Goldie Hawn.
But this isn't just for the United States. It's primarily to go all over the world where we've created a mess. And we have created a mess. Yes.
To give an example, Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell created the Hawn Foundation, where if you are a homeless vet, they will they will take you in, and they will help you get off drugs, help you get a house.
And they are applying holistic measures, not
pharmaceutical
drug companies.
Not AMA witch doctors, I call them.
don't put down witch doctors. Witch doctors do better than that.
Yeah, those are the real doctors.
Yeah, so it's just stunning. And, you know, with Dr. Keshe now coming on board with multiple new technologies at the same time, and there's all kinds of things to be added on to that. I mean, there will be 6,000 coming out pretty much up front. And, I mean, we mentioned those two last week. They're free energy devices. The one for your car, I think it just plugs into the lighter space.
Yeah.
And as you have an electric car, you'll never have to plug it in ever again. Not ever. And as you are in the home, then you'll never have an electric bill or a gas bill ever again. None. And it's about $790 for each one, and then they last forever. And, of course, this it's available, and they're being sold in Europe, across Europe, and they're guaranteed to be delivered within 30 days for the rest of the world. Anybody in the world can order them, yet you can bet your bottom dollar none of them will get into the United States until we do our part. So I'm just going to say that they are already – we are, as Lady Masternada said this last week, and Tom the Cat and – the King of Swords. We are watching the full collapse. And, you know, the King of Swords called Rama up, you know, those couple of weeks ago when China devalued their currency on the first day. And he said, this is the beginning of the very, very end.
Yeah.
They cannot, you know, it might look up and down for a little while, but they cannot. And as a matter of fact, the investors, did you know, I didn't know this, 80% of all the Chinese investors in their market are little people. They're small business, you know. They're the middle class. And we're talking about millions. And so they're looking at their entire economy going down all the way with this situation at hand. And so, I mean, this has to happen. Nasara has to help all these people out. And there's one government after the next is going through a big falter right now. And the next step is very, very imminent about this being over. And then there's a story that Angelica Merkel, you know, she's lost her coalition government.
She's lost her clout.
It's split right in half. And there are some elites around her that completely disagree with her about the situation with Greece. And she's not budging from her situation where she wants the Greeks to just do the austerity and do all that stuff. And these other elites are saying, we want to completely forgive the loan. That's what they said, and the debt, and we actually want to give them the $95 billion, which is 86 billion euros, and we want to just give it, and then they can go and get out of here and do their drachma and get their feet back together underneath them and continue on with the world. And in reality, that's what Germany got when the World War II ended. That's exactly. They never paid any of their debts off. Mm-mm. And so it's actually good. It's like the debt jubilee starting off there in Europe. And, I mean, it's pretty stark. And then the neocon thing in Europe was what this anti-immigration thing is about. And at the summit in Vienna today, this was the major topic, is about the migrant situation, especially when that situation came up. And another situation came up just yesterday, which is what 50 bodies were found in the hull of a boat off of the coast of Libya, and there were 400 more people that were alive and were saved. And then today, another boat capsized with hundreds and hundreds of people on it, and it's feared they're all dead. I mean, so this is not stopping. And as you trace back everywhere they're coming from, there's about seven different avenues, but the main thing is coming through this place where right now the most heavily focused is coming to Greece, because there's this little island, and it's so interesting. It's called Kos, like King of Swords. It's called the Kos Island, K-O-S. That's how it's spelled, and it's a Greek island, but it's not too far off of Turkey. It's much closer than the other parts of the mainlands, even the islands of Greece are. So that's the first place they go, and even that, they're finding all kinds of people dying because they're going in these really flimsy, like dinghy type stuff, and they're on just completely overfilling them, and they're just desperate to get there, and they're still charging them outrageous amounts of money. Okay, so Judy's with us. So Greece to Macedonia to Serbia to Hungary, and Hungary is building this huge stainless pointy barbed wire fence, and it's triple layers thick and triple layers deep, and the people are so in need, even the kids and everything, they're making tunnels underneath. Some of them are coming over the top, and they're standing there, and they're getting some kind of things to hold them with, and they're lifting up the whole fence, and people are crawling up from underneath. And Hungary doesn't even want them to come in their country. And in the summit, I'm almost done, they wanted to talk about this, making some new rules where each country would voluntarily, according to their size and economy, you know, volunteer to take so many of the refugees each. And lo and behold, UK and Denmark said, we will have nothing to do with quotas, and we don't want a single one. And just remember, Denmark they have royals. They are part of the old royalty. And the same thing with UK, and they're not nice people. And they, in other words, they have this, I wish if somebody knew, if anybody knows, Deanna told me about a week ago that there's a doctrine that was put into place, not the doctrine of discovery by the Vatican, but a doctrine that was put in place in England about that time ago, 400 years ago, that made the statement that white Anglo-Saxons would rule the earth and nobody else. So there's something to that, and I just have to find out what that is, because that's where all of this has to change. Nasara, now pass the talking stick for the moment.
Well, thank you, Tara and Rama. We have Judy Beebe with us again this evening, and we are always excited to hear the updates. So, Judy, can you hear me? Judy, can you say
can you
hello?
Hear me? Hello.
Now we can. Now we can hear you. Okay. Well, we're always excited to have you here, and everybody looks forward to see what the updates are and what news going on. So tell us what's happening in this energy world of yours.
Well, it's slow work, you know. But hi, everyone. It's an honor to be back. And I have lots of things I want to share with you tonight, which whatever time allows. So, there's some physical effects that people are feeling because of this new energy that's coming in. I want to talk to you about Genesis and describe to you what happens in Genesis. and why it's so important. I just recently had a very distressing move, and in the middle of it, I got this glorious channeling, I guess, from the angels, and I want to share that with you. I want to talk to you some more about the scalar fields. I want to introduce you to solfeggio and how to work with that with your spheres. I have a testimonial for you from Perth, Australia that I'd like to read. I want to go over some more with the epinoia, pronoia, and pleroma. Anyway, a whole list here. We'll see how much we can get through, okay? If not, I'll come back on, okay?
So, well, we have an hour, and we're not real strict with our timing here, so we'll just see how much you can get through. So,
okay, very good. Well, the universe has always had a contingency plan if we didn't make the progress we were supposed to make. And the energies are increasing now, and I'm sure that most of you have felt that. And that's part of the contingency plan. We were supposed to know all this stuff that I've been gathering together for 20-plus years. We were supposed to know this a long time ago, and we didn't. So as the galactic and cosmic energies increase over the next months and years, your body's going to be making changes and going through some things that might be troubling and symptomatic. And I've compiled a list of what some people are talking about, and I want to share that with you because in case you're having this, you'll know what's going on. Several people are reporting exhaustion. And on the other hand, the next day they may feel hyper. They don't know why. Some of them feel like time is speeding up, and in other times like it's slowing down. They say that they can lose words right in the middle of a sentence and are unable to find the word within their data bank, you know. They say days simply disappear without realizing the passage of time throughout the day. Some nights they don't sleep well, or the next night or the next day or the next week they may want to sleep longer and more often during the daytime. They toss and turn at night and have vivid dreams of another reality. And the energy which you're feeling can be like an energy surge and then followed by an energy bottoming out. So if any of you are having some of that, you'll know why. Some people are feeling nauseated and dizzy. You can have unusual body aches and pains that weren't there before. You can experience a sense of grief for no apparent reason. Just simply closing your eyes can cause a spinning sensation. You can also feel an increased heat sensation as your body starts using more hydrogen and its hydrogen receptors open up in the body, and that's what's going to be happening. I also want you to know that the pineal gland is going to open, that the hydrogen within your body becomes greater and accumulates with what's all going on now. And as those open up, one of the greatest receptors of hydrogen that is unknown to medical land is the pineal gland, and it's going to be coming back to life. Many have said that our pineal glands are calcified due to many different reasons, stuff in the toothpaste and all of this stuff. They've all attributed to all of this stuff. Well, none of it's good for you, but that's not the reason. The pineal glands have been inactive due to the hydrogen receptors not being activated in our bodies. The pineal gland is going to open wide open and function when we learn the truth about the complete truth about hydrogen. I got this article about the photon belt, and I want to share it with you because it really hit home for me. It talks about this new wave that's coming in, and I believe that that's happening. and it says, the transition into superconsciousness is to occur at the precise moment of suspension of movement between expansion and contraction. And before I moved to Montana, I had a writing that I really didn't understand. Now I understand it all, but at the time I didn't understand what all they were talking about. But one of the things they told me was, and my soul name is Astrea, they said, Astrea, your power comes between the beats. And that was so startling to me when I read this and remembered that writing, because what they're talking about is the scalar field. The scalar field has no electromagnetic charge. It's been zeroed out. It's total neutrality. That's what comes between the beats. So this scalar field is what they're talking about in the transition into superconsciousness, occurring at the precise moment of suspension of movement between expansion and contraction, your heartbeat, you know? So that's something I thought you should know. And then I want to go through Genesis with you because I think this is important. So I explained it to somebody today. Hello?
I was just going to ask you, yes, this is Marita. What can we do to help facilitate the pineal gland coming back
to life? You don't have to do a thing. All you have to know is when you drink water, that hydrogen is working because you know about it. And you have a sphere, Marita. So, you know, you're well protected. And those that have spheres, oh, my gosh, it has already been working in preparation for this new energy to come in and the pineal gland to open. And this is some of the stuff behind the scenes that's going on with these spheres that we won't know about for years, you know. So you're doing what you have to do. You're learning about this hydrogen and how important it is, and it's my job to make that available to everybody, that, you know, what I've learned over the last 20 plus years. And it's a message of hope. The hope is that we're not going to destroy ourselves. In fact, I got this little thing the other day, and it was, give hope, Astrea, because hope perches in the soul and sings the tune without words. So that's what I'm here to do. Let's just give you some hope and know that there is a way out of this mess. I've said this before, and we're going to get there. And the more I can teach you about this and you know, I can tell you about it, but if you don't embrace it and you don't take it into your body and into your heart and realize and have that feeling that it's right for you, you know, then you don't get the full benefit of this. But if it rings a bell with you, if it carries any truth, you're already doing what you're supposed to do. You know, it's going to come into you. Because you just have to have that. You know, we used to call it truth in the spirit when you'd get the goosebumps on your arm when you heard a spiritual truth. Have you ever had that happen, Marita?
Lots of times.
Yeah.
Sometimes over the whole
that's time. What I'm looking for here. If I can give you one thing tonight that causes that feeling, then you've taken it into your body and you're well on your way. A sphere or no sphere, okay? So, what I want you to know is, let's understand about what light is according to Genesis, okay? And are we being told in Genesis? How important are the things from the beginning? Genesis 1 is pretty straightforward. God created heaven and earth, right? And earth is a place where energy is activated and received through the heart, as evidenced by our heartbeat and pulse, right? That's the way I see it. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Genesis 2, it says, darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the deep refers to the cosmos, which is 90% hydrogen. Okay? Now, the same in Genesis 2, it says, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now you have the waters that have come in at the same time they're talking about the deep. Now we are at a point of nothing having been created yet. So when they use the waters separated from the waters later on, you're starting to see what I'm telling you. The waters above and the waters below are different and deep, the face of the deep. So you've got the waters, the deep, and all of that stuff going on just in Genesis 2. Now, here's where it really gets exciting. Genesis 3 is when light is created. God said, let there be light, and there was light. So here is the truth you should take away from this. Light was born out of the cosmic void, which is hydrogen. Hydrogen birthed light. So when you use light, you're activating hydrogen. In Genesis 6, he divided the waters above from the waters below. The waters above are, again, the cosmic hydrogen. Now is where we get divided. He divided the waters above and the waters below, but that's where electromagnetic energy came in. That's when we lost the scalar neutral field. This is where there was a division between heaven and earth and where the electromagnetic truth came in to be. And the other thing I want you to know is when you use white light, you're only using the energy from gateways 1 to 6. My suggestion is to use golden light because from 6 above, it all turns, the light all turns to gold. And it's a much more powerful affirmation and makes powerful changes in your body. So that's... I hope that made sense to you because it's really important. I explained it to someone today I was on the phone with for 3 hours, and oh, my gosh, she went, oh, my God, hydrogen was first cause. I said, absolutely. Hydrogen birthed light, and I think that's very significant to know. So I recently had an upheaval. As Marita knows, I had to cancel my being on the show because I had to move out of my peaceful little log home on the side of a mountain that I'd been in for 17 years, which was idyllic, but oh well, it happened. It was a huge drain, and packing and unpacking and packing up and putting in storage because I couldn't find a place to live, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I was tired one day. I was unloading some stuff at my daughter's home, and I went outside to lie down on a chaise and just zone out for a minute. And I don't know why I did, but I took a tablet and a pencil, and I'm glad I did because I'd no sooner sat down and the inflow started, and I want to share that with you. And this happened on June 25th. Said, our daughter from the stars, how much you have accomplished in a few short years. You have blossomed right before our eyes. You are magnificent as you go stronger in the truth each day. Your time in this home will not be long, and you will move on to a new destination which is being prepared for you. The place and its active and passive rhythms must be synchronized to your final work on this plane. You will enjoy a brilliant future and success on this side of the veil. This unveiling of a new energy has been in several parts. You are the link which brought it all together. A most admirable assemblage of star workers are standing with you as you finish this acceptance portion of the plan. Be at peace. You are safe and continually protected. Your safety has been the job of many from many different planes and parts of the galaxy. You are the link which must not be broken or it will all unravel. You were given an army of energy workers as you tirelessly navigated this move Now you need to rest and open yourself up to our counsel. We always yearn to tell you more. The angelic workers who are most high and closest to the center source have a part in the plan for your surge of light upon this plane. You are dear and evolved far beyond this earth plane. There has been a constant need to keep you centered in this lower energy dimension, which is difficult for you. After your cosmic trip, you became easier and easier to keep centered. We love you for your dedication to Earth's upliftment and the advancement of human consciousness. Your dedication to writing about this will not really be understood for many more years. It needs some time to sink into the Earth consciousness. You have done your part. Congratulations and much love to our beautiful spirit sister. The being known as Valiant Thor has been one of the angelic beings who undertook a great deal of the work needed for you to accomplish this task. He salutes you and your unwavering dedication. Many tears you have shed, yet many treasures you have uncovered for the future of Earth and her people. He sends you the jewel from the center of gem energy, which will be uncovered soon. This jewel is and has been hidden until the right one comes along. A global awakening will then happen and will change physics as it has been known. It will break the barriers of all known current physical laws. The Earth has been waiting for this jewel, and she can then rid herself of all toxins which have rendered her nearly to the point of dying. You must rest to be ready for the stampede. I honor you this day and all those days to come, glowing with the light and truth which you have planted. So, I was tired, and I woke up feeling better. I went, way to go, Judy. Good job. And so, now, I've told you before about the scalar field, which is neutral. It's when electromagnetic energy gets zeroed out. And they zero each other out. They carry the same amount of energy and zero each other out, leaving the scalar field of neutrality wherein all things are created. The void. God moved over the void. That was scalar. That was neutral. That was a neutral field. And I want to read this one from George Adamski and George Van Tassel, because it reiterates what I've just told you here, and I want you to understand how important it is. In George Adamski's book, Inside the Spaceship, he says the following. The Venusian that he received this for from was, he called him Orthon. He was from Venus. And he said, "We do not fly as you mean it. We nullify the atmosphere by a mechanical procedure. You express it as suspending gravity. In this way, we are not hindered by atmospheric interference or resistance. This is why our craft are able to make the sharp changes in direction of travel and to move at the speeds that have so mystified your airmen and your scientists." And then, the hydrogen lady, I got a call the other day, and I answered the phone, and this voice says, "Hi, is this the hydrogen lady?" So I can't go without telling you something about hydrogen. George Van Tassel took a trip in a spaceship, I think, or was it a Dansk? Anyway, the being that gave him this information was Ashtar. And one of the things that they said to him was that they were concerned with the attempt to explode the hydrogen element, because the hydrogen element is life-giving, and that there are the explosion of an atom of an inert substance and that of a living substance are two different things. The hydrogen atom is a life-giving element of the creative intelligence. And I just showed you how hydrogen came first. It was first cause. It created light, and it created the waters above and below. So they say, he also said, we have the formula they would like to use. It is not meant for destruction. And that's Gem Energy. Now I want to talk to you about Solfeggio. We're just bouncing around here, aren't we? I'm using Solfeggio with my spheres. And so those of you who have a sphere, this is for you, because the Solfeggio tones, a do, re, mi, fa, so, the five of them, there are more that they use for healing, but it's 396 hertz, 417 hertz, no, forget that one, 396 hertz, 528 hertz, 639 hertz, 741 hertz, and 852 hertz. And the reason these are significant is they're retuned and retoned, and each one of those tones is a 9, 3, 6, 9, 3, 6. 3, 6, and 9. The 3, 6, and 9 of the three circles of man. Remember my talking about that? And also, that's what Tesla said. He said, if you only knew the magnificence of the 3, 6, and 9, you would have a key to the universe. So how I'm using these is I put my earphones around the sphere, and I hold the sphere tight with the earphones. I play the tones. You can get them free online. You can go in and download them online. There are all kinds of different sites where you can get them free. And I put those, and I use them all, and I hold them close. I hold the earphones with the sphere in between. I hold them close to my body, and I move it around my body, and oh my God, it is so powerful. You will love it. Try it. If you are a sphere owner, please try this because it's very important. The 396 sphere is where you lose guilt and fear. The 528 one is to repair your DNA and for all healing efforts. 639 is about relationships that are troubling. The 741 is to awaken intuition. And the 852 turns you to a spiritual order, which you know where that starts, hydrogen. So try the Solfeggio tones. Go download them free and try them with your sphere. Now, on August 11th, I got this feedback from someone who bought a sphere. Her name is Allison, and she lives in Perth, Australia. She said, I've had the gem sphere, which we tend just to call the orb, for a bit over a month now. I thought to share a few of our experiences and insights with you. When first unwrapped, my daughter, 11 years old, who hadn't been well and had a headache, held it for a minute, and then told me it made her headache go away, and she was now all better, and she was. I had a strong feeling to connect it to the earth on the day it arrived. It was a cloudy day, but as soon as I put it outside on the earth, it started to rain, and an hour or so later, when I brought it back inside, the rain stopped. I often invite people to hold it and describe what they feel. Some people can feel the energy straight away, and for others, it seems to slowly creep up on them. Comments include things like, I can feel it pulsing. It feels angelic. It's expanding my heart. It feels like pyramid energy. All my cells are tingling. Some people have felt it caused a spin sensation around their head. When I asked them to attune to it and feel what direction it was spinning, they mostly said anti-clockwise. I then asked them to take their awareness to their feet and feel if it was spinning there too, and if so, what direction. All have felt the spin at their feet moving in the opposite direction to the top. I then asked them to tune into where the two fields meet in them, and most said it creates a still point at the heart. Remember my heart thing? Another thing we have noticed is that once you have felt and tuned into the energy of the gem sphere, it is easy to reconnect to it even when you are far from it. As soon as you think of it, you can feel the energy expanding in you again. One of my friends rang me a week after she had held it to tell me whenever she remembers holding it in her hand, she can feel the energy of it again. I have learned that the orb seems to really expand its vibration when placed within water. My first registration of this was when leaning over a creek bank and holding it in a stream of water. The vibrations coming up my arm immediately intensified while I held it in the water. Then I tried holding it in the sea. This was different as I was in the water with the orb. It felt like it was using my energy field as a portal, as I could feel an increase of energy flowing in at both my crown and base chakra and flowing down my arm into the orb and out into the sea. I now keep the orb floating in a bowl of water in my house. It charges the water with its frequency. We have been drinking some of the charged water. I often add some to our smoothies in the morning for a high vibe lift. I have also put a set of small clear quartz points in the bottom of the water dish so that they will also be charged with the gold frequency of the orb. I then give these to people to help them attune to the orb energy in their own homes, and also have put some into large bodies of water like creeks, rivers, and lakes to assist the vibration. Anyway, she goes on even more and more. She says, I will continue to play with the orb and explore what it can do, and I'll send you another update if we find anything further. Let us know how things are progressing. She's really into this, and putting it in streams and creeks and rivers is very helpful to our planet. You know, we have to do something. We are the generation that has to make the change. You know, like Gandhi said, he said, be the change that you want to see in the world. We have to do something. We can't allow this to keep up. So today's the day. Let's save the planet. How's that sound?
Hey, Judy, the solfeggio frequencies are something that this group is very familiar with, because I have played those for people. We've talked about, you know, why they were taken away from the monks. The church took them away because, you know, like the very first one, removes fear and guilt.
Yeah, they're powerful.
And but why are you leaving out the 417? What is that about?
What now did you say?
The
I'm
second
having trouble
one.
Hearing you, Marita.
Okay, the second one, the 417, why did you say that you're not using it?
Well, because the five tones of do, re, mi, fa, so. There are lots of other ones. Let me tell you what else there is. There's other ones that you can use. They're using 285, which works with your chakras. They use 174, which removes pain. So if you have a painful condition, you can use 174. I found a whole circular wheel with all of them. And you can download it and or you can print it off of the website, and it'll give you all of them and what they're for. A 417 is a chakra to facilitate change. It works with the chakra to facilitate change. And I would think that we're more interested in healing, so I jumped from 396 to 528. But they all are when you add them all up, they all add up to 3, 6, or 9. And I have played Gregorian chants for years. Yeah. I love them. They always make me feel wonderful, and now I know why.
Well, you can subtract any one from any other one, and I have a whole chart, and it even shows you how the golden mean comes up as part of this chart, because we're now working with the frequencies and the forks and in for DNA, for the for all of the when we're talking about the expansion of changing in there's so much going on with that. A website, and we've had a doctor have David Hulse on here several times, but he is teaching this as a way of working with people, and the website is just Soma, S-O-M-A, Energetics, and if you put in Soma Energetics, there's lots.
Well, when you play it through your sphere, Marita, you're going to notice a whole different feeling. Way different.
Well,
and it's very powerful.
Well, it's
your
interesting
whole body starts
because I have I have my sphere on my bed, and many times before I go to sleep, I use the solfeggio forks, and so I haven't they're right in conjunction with each other. So I've been doing that and not knowing
why you're doing it.
So
well, try it with the earphones by the around the sphere, if you can. I don't know whether you have that capability there, and then hold it close to your body and see what you feel.
Huh? Okay.
Yeah,
we'll have to play with that too.
What can it hurt? Huh? Okay. Where do I want to go now? Oh, I want to talk to you about spheres that I don't know whether I gave these to you before, but I want to talk to you about it. And the Greek Oracle of Delphi, I want to read this one to you first because I found it in a Greek manuscript, and it describes what was going on here. It says, in the center of the room there was a pedestal of gleaming ebony on which rested a sphere pulsing with a luminescence best described by the color mother of pearl, shot through with blazing flashes of coruscating colors. And I just thought that was so awesome when I found it. I forget which Greek manuscript it was, but that's what the Oracle of Delphi was all about, where she was getting her. And I also saw something back a while ago that showed that there was a platform that was extended out over a pool of water. This is how this information came through the Oracle of Delphi. Then, I'll ask you first because I don't want to read it if I've already given this to you, but did I tell you about the Godfrey Ray King thing and the unveiled mysteries about the spheres?
I don't believe we've heard that.
Okay, well then listen to this. In Unveiled Mysteries, which was written, by the way, in 1930 by Godfrey Ray King, this is what one of the places in the book it says, about 12 feet in front of me stood a block of snow-white onyx, 3 feet high and 16 inches square. On this rested a crystal sphere filled with a ceaselessly moving, colorless light, in which were points of radiance darting to and fro. The sphere continually sent forth rays of prismatic colors to a distance of about 6 inches. It seemed made of living substance, so constantly did it scintillate. The radiance from this gorgeous sphere filled the entire chamber, producing a sensation of electronic energy no words can convey. And then in another one, it says, the electronic force with which my garments are charged is of a higher, finer electricity than that known in your physical world. someday even your men of science will stumble upon it and realize it has always existed in the atmosphere, but they have not known how to direct and control it for the service of mankind. It is much more easily directed by the mind than by physical apparatus of any kind, yet it can be drawn and controlled through mechanical means. That which the entire world knows as electricity is but a crude form of the great spiritual energy of life. It exists throughout creation. And then in one other place where it mentions Saint Germain, who gave Godfrey Ray King all of this information, here's what it says. In the center of this immense temple stood a pedestal about 2 feet square and 20 feet high, made of a self-luminous milk-white substance that gave off a white light with a breath of pink in it. Upon it stood a crystal globe, 2 feet in diameter, made of some kind of substance, holding a soft, self-luminous white light within. It was very soft and yet so intensely luminous that the entire building was brilliantly lighted. The sphere, remarked Saint Germain, was made of a precipitated material enclosing an intense focus of light. What was light born from? Hydrogen. It was drawn and placed in the temple at that period by one of the great cosmic masters as a sustaining and life-giving activity for the people. It continually sent forth not only the light, but an energy and power which stabilized their activities and the empire. Can't get much better than that, can you? Are you there, Marita?
I am here. I'm listening.
Huh?
I am here, and I am listening.
Okay. So, something I want to leave you with. Hydrogen is life. Hydrogen connects life. Hydrogen celebrates life. Hydrogen is our cosmic genesis. Hydrogen is the book of knowledge or the Akashic records, whichever you want to call it. And it is, its water crystal, its hydrogen crystal, is hexagonal. And you know the flower of life symbol, you know, the thing that has, that looks like a flower, right? And if you draw lines through each one of those 6 points, you have a hexagon. And I just realized the other day when I was doing something, I always thought, you know, it was beautiful and it was proclaiming our connections through hydrogen. But it just hit me all of a sudden that those things that look like flower petals aren't flower petals. What they are is communication routes, hydrogen to hydrogen, back and forth, back and forth. Every one of them, they're all hydrogen points that are communicating with each other because the one true communication is hydrogen to hydrogen. Then, if you look at the Merkaba, right, the Mer means from the sea, Ka is life force, and Ba is soul. So, you know, again, you've got the water thing going here, the Merkaba. Metatron's cube is hexagonal with the two pyramids, triangles. Going up and down, you know, and interconnected, and then you have the six circles that encircle the edges of the triangles, and that becomes hexagonal and hydrogen based. I mean, everywhere you go, it's in everything. It's in prima materia, in alchemy. It says about. This is one of the first things I found that excited me when I'd been given the energy was I found this prima materia plate and it talks about the moisture must be caught lest it should change into vapor or fume. The two vapors or fumes are the roots of the art, and it's got a downward pointing triangle and all of this beautiful stuff. Angels are blowing their breath on it, and water's coming down from the hand of God that has a lock. It looks like a lock hanging from his hand. And everything's, there's plant life, and then there's the sun and the moon, and there's more plants growing, and then there's this downward pointing triangle that says pons. And in medicine, a pons is a bridge to something else. And then it comes down and it has all of these vaporous things down below. And it says, I am the moisture which preserves everything in nature and makes it live. I pass from the upper to the lower planes. I am the heavenly dew and the fat of the land. I am the fiery water and the watery fire. Nothing may live without me in time. I am close to all things, yea, and through all things, nevertheless, unknown. That's alchemy, and it's there. You know, Carl Sagan, he was a great guy, wasn't he? I wish he was here. I would contact him. He said that the cosmos is all that is or ever was or ever will be. Our feeblest contemplations of the cosmos stir us. There is a tingling in the spine, a catch in the voice, a faint sensation as if a distant memory or falling from a height. We know that we are approaching the greatest of mysteries. And it's not a mystery anymore. I just love doing that. Anyway, the hydrogen lady, you know. Nikola Tesla said, the energy of the universe was waiting to be tapped. And he said, we are like people in a boat dying of thirst because we do not know how to scoop up the water from the sides of the boat.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Mm.
So how are we doing for time?
So the energy is all around us. We got to learn how to scoop it up, don't we?
Yeah, we do. We do. And you know Einstein's formula,
We have 15 minutes yet. We have 15 minutes yet.
Okay.
If you would like. So what would you like to do next?
I'm going to go to Einstein. You want to go to Einstein? His formula, E equals MC squared.
It sounds good to me.
The speed of light, right? 186,000 miles per second. But when you're dealing with hydrogen, you're talking about the speed of thought, okay? So the formula should really be, and this is new, I haven't presented this to anybody before, E equals ethers. M equals manifestation and creation. C equals circularity, and there's no square. How about that?
Okay.
I just
manifestation. And what was the other thing with the manifestation?
Or creation, yeah. Because what did God move over? The void, the ethers.
Mm-hmm.
And he created. So M is for manifestation and creation. Here we go. This is my favorite thing. No electron moves in a living system without the presence of hydrogen. We are all held together with hydrogen. So if there was no hydrogen, everything would disappear in a second. I mean, it would all be gone. Everything. There would be no earth. There would be nothing. We would be back to the void, starting over.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at it that way, it's kind of, you know, we're the generation that has to fix this. We definitely have to fix it. we've created part of it, you know, not personally, but, you know, we cannot fail. We owe it to the cosmos. And Carl Sagan said that. We have to protect it. We have to protect it for the children and the future. I have a favorite Cree wisdom thing that I love, and I look at it often because it makes me more zealous to get this out to the world. It says, when the last tree is cut down, the last river poisoned, the last fish caught, then only will man discover that he cannot eat money. So, mm-hmm. How about that?
Wow.
And it's true.
Right.
You know, you can gather up millions and millions of dollars, but are you going to take it with you? The hydrogen doesn't accept money.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going back to
nothing. Tell us how are you progressing with, I know people have asked about the spheres out and the next step of getting the 6-inch ones out. Those are kind of questions that I'm getting here. So what can you tell us about the progress?
The 6-inch spheres are not going to be available for personal right now. And we may not even need them. I don't know. We may always be able to use a small one. I don't know. There is a gentleman, I can't tell you too much about it because, anyway, there's a gentleman who could make all of this happen, and he now has a sphere, and he's going to start working with it, and he knows all about frequency and hydrogen, and when I know more on that, I'll be able to tell you. There's another guy who is in a university situation, and I'm going to send him off a sphere this weekend, and he would maybe will have the ability to get it on an electron or a microscope or an atomic microscope, and we'd be able to see what's going on in there, and then science won't be able to deny it, you know. So that's in the works. What else is going on? I have an article in the Sedona Journal about the mystery of the hydrogen atom. That's in
what,
the September.
What issue is that? What
September.
Issue is it currently?
September. Pardon me?
What issue of the journal is
it's
it?
It's the September issue.
September,
so it's
okay.
It's coming out here within a couple of days, so... and it's like 4 pages, so that's a whole new audience. And I'm going to be on Rob McConnell's show and go back to the beginning. If anyone wants to listen to that, it will be on Wednesday night. I'll be on at 9 o'clock my time, so 11 o'clock Eastern time. Then I'm going to be on another program, Jonah Bolt's Starseed Radio, but we haven't set a date yet. What else is going on? I mean, there's all kinds of things going on. I keep very busy for an old broad. Just answering Frank Chili's questions keeps me busy. Did you laugh?
Well, he's another one of us who just keeps going and... we're all of the same generation, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. He's a pip, isn't he?
Does anybody on the team here have any questions? And we do, if you want to call in, of course, you always can do that on our 888-429-5471. That's free for the United States and Canada, 888-429-5471. And Judy had so many things to share with us tonight. We haven't taken time for questions, but in the last moments here, if there's something that's just a real burning in your heart and you'd like to be able to ask the question, why, go ahead and give us a call.
Yeah, let's hope I have an answer.
Judy, this is Tara. I don't have a question yet. When you were talking about using gold, I thought about this because I can see the auras. The first layer around the body is gold.
Yeah. And that's the frequency that is put into the gemsphere when the energy is right, when the formula is right, and it mixes in the sphere, it automatically produces the frequency of gold. And that is the frequency that makes it, binds it together and makes it a plasma. Isn't that amazing? And they have hadron colliders over there for billions and billions and billions of dollars to smash atoms so that they can figure out what creates matter. Well, I can tell you what creates matter. That starts in Genesis. When God moved over the void, it was the thought. They will never find what created matter because it was God that started. It was the thought that moved over the hydrogen. So billions and billions of dollars, we could have had this out in every home by now.
Any other questions here on the team?
Well, you said a lot of things. It's like I'm got my mind blown a little bit here.
good. We want to take you off balance so that you can gain a new balance and a new understanding and develop that hope in your body.
I like the very first thing you said, hydrogen burst light.
Yes, yes. That hydrogen is first cause. That's the first thing that God moved over was hydrogen, because that's the creative element. It's what creates atoms, what keeps atoms forming to produce matter, you know. I know, it's a lot to take in. This gal today, 3 hours on the phone with her, and it's somebody I respect very much, and she wants to help get this out on the planet, and she was blown away. She said, Judy, everybody needs to know this information. I said, I know. I do the best I can. I'm old broad, and I used to live on a side of a mountain. And I want my mountain back.
Well, now you said that they have. They said that you have some place new that you're going. Have you been shown that yet?
It would be here. I'm not moving from here. This is where I had my out of body experience in Big Fork on Swan River, and I can't move from here. I wouldn't move from here. And I'm not really good at speaking to people or going out, you know, and giving that kind of thing. I can do this on the phone because it's very personal, you know, and I feel comfortable. But if I was in front of an audience, I'd probably wet my pants. Hello.
Sister, where is here? Where is your new home that you say is here? Where is here?
Montana. I live in Lakeside, Montana.
Uh-huh. And you're not on top of the mountain, so are
no
you at sea
anymore.
Level?
No, I moved in with my daughter. She had an extra bedroom, and so I put all of my stuff in storage because this is a very strange situation here in Montana. There are multi-gazillionaires and with the mega million-dollar mansions, and then we have the down-to-earth people that are, you know, like me, poor. And so, you know, it's not easy to find a home that you would live in. I mean, you could live in a dump if you wanted, but I can't do that. So, I mean, it's not easy to find a rental. And So I would love to buy a place, but I used all my money trying to get this far with Gem Energy, so there's no money to buy.
Well, let me encourage you that there is miracles afoot, and this whole system is in freefall collapse right now, which is a good thing, because we want the system where hydrogen creates light again. And literally, there's a there's divine governance coming in right behind it, and it's I don't know if you know who Dr. Keshe is, but he's talking
about the 20th.
Yeah, well, he talked in May. I'm giving the leadership of the world about 3 months, from June 21st to September 21st. And as they don't clear up this mess and create peace, then I have the ability, I'll do it single-handedly as need be. Yet by the 21st, I shall erase the ether of war from the consciousness of humankind across the world.
That would be lovely. I would be happy to help with that. Yeah, definitely.
Well,
it's long overdue for the human race to get back to its roots in the earth. We can't continue to do this, you know. I was going to read them to you. I have all of these things that I've pulled off the internet of what's happening to our earth, but I don't want to leave that out there. I don't want to do that. I want to give you the one that I got about hope. Hope perches in the soul and sings the tune without words. That's what I want to leave you with, not all of this doom and gloom.
Exactly.
As long as you know about hydrogen, you're on the right track. You know how important it is to our future on this planet. And if I've done nothing else, that will be a great legacy.
Now, say that again, Judy. Hope purges the soul? Is that what you said?
No, hope perches, like a bird perch. It perches in the soul and sings the tune without words.
Oh.
Beautiful, isn't it? Yeah, it just came to me. I hear it telepathically in my head, and I wrote it down, and I went, that's what my movement is right now. If I can bring hope to the planet, then I'm making fertile ground for the energy to be situated on this planet. You know, if people have hope instead of doom and gloom, they're going to be receptive to a new way, a new something, you know? And so that is what I consider my mission right now, and that's why I'm going to go on all these programs, people I haven't been with before, to give them their first shot of what this is all about and what hydrogen is about, and that it's our way out of this mess. There is nothing else that can clean up the earth, nothing.
You know, I wanted to say, Judy, when I was getting my master's degree, I did a dance performance, and I also put some video together so that they could see me in front of it and all the things I was saying. So I didn't say any words except for I called the whole piece From Resistance to Harmony. And what that was about hope, because From Resistance to Harmony is hope, healing of planet Earth.
Exactly. You know, there are three stages, don't you, of anything new, any new truth that comes in. One is it's ridiculed, two, it's opposed, and three, it's finally accepted.
Yes, that was Gandhi again, wasn't it?
Yeah. Three stages.
I've been through
the ridicule stage. Okay. I did that for probably 15 years of this whole journey. And then it started a little bit of acceptance and started reaching some fertile ground, you know. And I'm working on now the acceptance and being able to place it on the planet. And so we'll see. We'll just see. I'll keep going. Keep praying for me. Keep pushing me, push my buttons, keep me going, point me in the right direction.
Which Which button would you like to be pushed tonight?
Well, some people would tell you it's on my backside.
It's
and I
what?
Think it's more, instead of a push, it's a kick.
Oh, okay. I see. Well.
Anyway, I have lots of testimonials, guys. I just didn't want to take up the whole time. I wanted to refresh, you know, our hydrogen commitment here and get you back in that mode. And when I know more about these other people who are doing something, I will let you know. This one guy, really important, he possibly can get this energy on the grid without anybody knowing. So pray for it, okay?
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Well,
okay, so, sister, don't be away for so long. Come back. Okay.
You know, I will. I'll come back. Except my words are all old news to you guys. You probably could give this whole thing.
Well, sister,
we have new listeners all the time. I have people. It's amazing to me how many new people we have. Yeah, we have the regulars that are here that have been here for years and that are always around. If not every week, very, you know, periodically, but we have new people. And of course, with the radio, it goes around the world. And so we never know, where we might touch that has not heard this information before.
Right. Well, I certainly haven't forgot you. And Marita, you have certainly done your work for Jim and it's so appreciated. You took it to those scalar things and or radionics things, wasn't it? Yeah.
Right.
And
right.
And it was a pleasure to make sure you had a sphere, and I'm just so grateful that you do, because the work you do is wonderful.
Well, we thank you for being here, and we look forward to having you back. If I you know that you're always welcome. If I don't call you when you've got something that's just bursting out of your mind, give me a call, and I will make sure we can find a space for you.
Well, good night,
and we thank you for being here. And then we'll take a musical break, and then we'll come back for the last hour with Tara and Rama.
All right. Bye.
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 Welcome back to the third hour of our Stargate Roundtable. We'll have Tara and Rama help us understand what's going on in the world. And what are you going to share with us this evening?
Well, hello, Marita, Robert. I was just going to say there's something good happening over there in Great Britain. And it kind of is like, what happened, you know? And it says here, this is the name of this article, is why a left-wing socialist is poised to become the leader of Britain's Labour Party.
Yeah.
Unlike the party apparatchiks, that's what it says, Jeremy Corbyn has consistently opposed austerity and voters are enthusiastic. So stop me if you've heard this before. A grizzled left-winger with a bold anti-austerity message begins what everyone assumes is a quixotic quest for elected office. His campaign provokes an unexpected wave of public enthusiasm, drawing cheering crowds that embarrasses his rivals, and inspiring hordes of previously disaffected young people. So we got Go Bernie over here. Now I got Go Jeremy over there. This is amazing. Yet the media continue to insist that as an unabashed socialist with no national executive experience, he remains unelectable, while senior figures in his party warn of dire consequences as voters refuse to grow up and settle for a politician whose coronation has begun to seem less inevitable with every passing day. You understand what I'm seeing? I mean, what are we looking at here? Mm-hmm. Hydrogen creates light. Hydrogen bursts light in another country. Let's just say it that way. And in other words, the energy of this renewal is not interested in settling down. What does it say? Settle down to a less inevitable. Settle down somewhere here. Never mind. So for an American especially, it is impossible to witness the growing excitement here over Jeremy Corbyn's candidacy for the leadership of the Labour Party without being reminded of Bernie mania. Though Corbyn at 66 is more useful than the 73-year-old Vermont senator and entered Parliament as an MP for Islington in North London, back when Sanders was still in his first term as mayor of Burlington, Vermont, the two mavericks share a reputation for putting principle ahead of popularity, a willingness to challenge their own party's conventional wisdom, especially on the economy, and an improbable status as icons of authenticity in an age of soundbite politics. Yet as you want to understand the roots of Corbyn's appeal and the painful dilemma he poses for the British left, you need to look past the gadfly turned head story to the blasted landscape of the Labour Party, still reeling from its stunning defeat last May. With the next elections not due to 2020, Ed Miliband's speedy resignation allowed the Conservatives, now in possession of a parliamentary majority, to throw off whatever concessions they'd had to make to their former coalition partners, the Liberal Democrats, cutting £12 billion from welfare. Yikes, everybody. Withdrawing housing benefits from 18 to 21-year-olds and limiting low-income tax credits to just two children per family. As though to underline Labour's moral and intellectual bankruptcy, as the changes came to a vote in July, Harriet Harman, the party's acting leader, forbade her colleagues from voting against the government. Andy Burnham, a working-class Catholic with matinee idol looks, who led in all the early polls and who was widely described as the candidate of the unions and the left, abstained. So, did Yvette Cooper, who, like Burnham, had been a minister in both Tony Blair's and Gordon Brown's governments, and Liz Kendall, who, though elected to Parliament in 2010, has become the Blairite champion in the race, the only leadership contender to actually vote against the latest Tory attack on Britain's poorest, was Jeremy Corbyn, whose dark horse candidacy was initially viewed as mere window dressing, a gesture to placate the party's fractious yet impotent left wing. Indeed, Corbyn, who in his previous 30 years as a serial rebel on Labour's backbenches had never betrayed any hint of leadership ambition, scraped together the 35 nominations from sitting MPs required to get on the ballot only thanks to the support of several who publicly declared they'd be voting for one of his opponents. The plan was to provide Burnham or Cooper a hard left foil during the summer debates and maybe add a little spice to a field described by one senior Labour MP like Ed Miliband without the charisma. Unlike Sanders, though, who, though elected as an independent, has always caucused with Senate Democrats, Corbyn, titular head of the Stop the War Coalition, has never seemed comfortable inside any political party. Not the various Trotskyists, groupuscules, whose causes he has supported and defended without, so far as I, what's going on with that kitty? So far as I can tell, ever joining any of them, nor the Labour Party itself, whose patronage and preferments he has refused. During the 2009 scandal over MPs' expenses, Corbyn was revealed to have claimed just £8.70 for an ink cartridge, less than any of his colleagues. Yet from the very first televised debate on June 17th, the odds on Corbyn, originally 100-1, began to shorten as audiences responded to his firm rejection of both Tory plans for another 3 years of austerity and the variations on austerity light offered by his Labour opponents. By the mid of August, Corbyn was so far ahead that one firm of British bookies had already begun to pay out on bets backing him to win. Oh, my God. That brings it back. I just want to say this now because I don't remember if I've said it yet. I keep meaning to, and then things get in the way. But it's an incredulous timing now because this art gallery head of the Fenn Gallery, Mr. Fenn. He's a white knight, faction 3. And yet he told Rama that he would be, you know, he wouldn't be here if he were to say anything that he knows. Yet he said, I'm telling you because you're not in the same place. I had to sign a gag order. But he said that he knows that don't be surprised if not to the distant future that Oprah Winfrey opens a super PAC, which Rama said was clarified by Tom the Cat today. A super PAC is a war chest in terms of law. Now, how this whole story began, the 78 programs, you know, at the very beginning, and the one that we want to know is called the Finney Project, you know, one with the that begins with a D and the porpoise is its cousin, that project. That's the Faction 3 White Knight project. Yet a war chest is a term. It's a term that means that you can open it up like a bank account and you can put money into it. And the same person that opened up the bank account that puts the money into it can take the money out and use it for a purpose.
Litigation.
That's called litigation, right. And in the sense, well, a super PAC isn't used for that. Mm. But the litigation that we're talking about is to get the Sara announced. We've gotten all the way down the road now, and Nasara's been signed into law by Bill Clinton on October 10th of the year 2000. And then on the 28th of that year of October 2000, Dick Cheney, the original, and George Bush Jr., the original, were killed and cloned the very first time, all on Bill Clinton's watch. And then the rest of that war chest fund that started way back in the 80s, it basically started back in October 1st, 1979. This is when the whole thing began. You know, there's the light and the dark. And then there's a faction one, the dark, a faction two, you might say the military. And you might say the people. Faction three, a white knight contingency that also is part of the 38th level above the president, where the ACIO exists, called the Alien Contact Intelligence Organization, which is meaning that the Faction 3 is a galactic operation. This is the Nassara operation, and the litigation has to do with these war chest monies that were funding the war crimes tribunals since 2003. When Georgie Porgy put it on the tab and went and invaded and occupied a country. And I just heard something on Watching the Hawks. And they were talking, it was today. And there was a Islamic woman on there. I have to listen to it more carefully, but my ears just perked all the way up because she was talking about the United States involvement in the Iraqi hologram and then the Afghani hologram, and that she added them up, 2 million here, 2 million there, 2 million. She got up to 8 million that we have killed 8 million Islamic people in the whole of the story. I mean, you know, Joe Wilson in 2006 told Rama it was 2 million U.S. soldiers were already dead.
Yeah.
And now they're talking about, and then he told Rama maybe, you know, 4 or 5 million Iraqis or 4 or 5 million Islamic people would die when it was all said and done. And she said, nope, we're up to 8 million. And I'm going, oh, my God. I'm just saying that was on television. Yes, it was on RT, called something called Watching the Hawks. Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, the fact of the matter is the amount of disclosure now of what has been going on with this litigation of this war chest, now opening a super PAC. And the thing is, it's for a female who has a person of color who is, I'm just going to say she knows both sides of the fence. She's been a double agent, too, because she's been on the Council on Foreign Relations. So she's been rubbing shoulders with Barbara Walters and all the kids. And she's been representing that finger of light inside the dark. And it's the same thing with her husband. Even though some people that don't quite get how dark this trail goes, that everything that looks like it's him that they want to hold accountable, there is no power in that office. And that is the reason for this needing to change. Like Judy was saying, we are having the ones to, you know, be the return of this Christ consciousness. So I'm going to just stop there. This is just this gentleman. I'm so glad to see Britain come up with a similar vibration of good vibrations. We'll finish it tomorrow or whenever. But and there's one more article that's very cool. It's called "The Sun is a Portal for," remember, that's hydrogen,
right?
For hyperdimensional space travel based on sacred geometry. That's the title of the article. We'll read that tomorrow, too. Let's do this really powerful meditation with some energy of the avataric agency of happiness that we all represent. Patty Kota-Robles is bringing this through. It's called I Am Returning to Christ Consciousness. About 12 minutes, everybody. Here we go.
I am returning to Christ consciousness. I am my I Am presence, and I am one with the I Am presence of all humanity. What I invoke for myself this sacred and holy day, I invoke on behalf of every man, woman, and child on earth. I do this in perfect alignment with each person's divine plan and the highest good for all concerned. This is possible because we are one and there is no separation. On the holy breath, I now breathe in and out deeply and rhythmically through my heart. With every in-breath, I align with the love of my Father, Mother, God, and the sacred fire breath of the Holy Spirit. With every out-breath, my godparents open my heart chakra to new breaths and project their divine love and power into the physical plane of Earth. Through this activity of light, the portal within my right brain hemisphere and my heart chakra, through which the love of my Mother God originally flowed to bless all life on Earth, is once again opening to full breath. As the full divine potential of my Mother God's pink flame of love pulsates through my heart chakra, it is brought into perfect balance with my Father God's blue flame of divine power, which is also pulsating within the divinity of my heart. My newly balanced heart flame has a dual pulsation. The first pulsation is the in-breath, assimilating and absorbing the power and love of my Father, Mother, God. And the second pulsation is the out-breath, expanding and radiating out the power and love of my Father, Mother, God. On the in-breath, my heart flame extends up in vibration, piercing into the very heart and mind of my Father, Mother, God, the source of never-ending perfection. On the out-breath, my balanced heart flame radiates the blessings from the heart and mind of God into the physical plane of Earth. On every in-breath, my balanced heart flame ascends into new heights of divinity. And on every out-breath, through my fully opened heart chakra, my heart flame becomes a stronger pulsation of my Father, Mother, God's blessings into the world of form. Because of this dual activity, my heart flame is both the portal into the pure land of boundless splendor and infinite light within me, as well as the source of all of the divine blessings from my godparents to humanity and planet Earth. My heart flame is the inward portal for my return to Christ consciousness, as well as the connection with my I Am presence and the company of heaven. It is also the open door through which the blessings from my Father, Mother, God, and the realms of illumined truth radiate outward into my daily life. Through the holy breath, my return to Christ consciousness and my journey back to God are balanced with my outer service to humanity and all life. It is within this balance that I open my heart once again to the perpetual flow of my Mother God's pure divine love. Now that the portal through which my Mother God's divine love flows is open to full breath, the blue flame of my Father God's power and the pink flame of my Mother God's love are at last perfectly balanced within the divinity of my heart. As these two aspects of my Father, Mother, God now merge into the magnificent violet flame of God's infinite perfection, this sacred fire blazes up from my heart chakra and expands into my physical brain structure, activating my pineal, pituitary, and hypothalamus glands and the ganglionic centers at the base of my brain. The activation of my spiritual brain centers creates the sacred space for the opening of my crown chakra. As this occurs, a greatly intensified frequency of the yellow-gold flame of God's wisdom, enlightenment, illumination, and Christ consciousness begins to flow from the very heart of my Father, Mother, God, through my I Am presence and into my pineal gland. This intensified yellow-gold flame now flows through my pineal gland and is anchored within the divinity of my heart flame. With this influx of light, the full divine momentum of Christ consciousness now flows through my crown chakra and my pineal gland into my mental and emotional bodies. As I return to the enlightened state of Christ consciousness, my heart and mind are recalibrated to higher frequencies of oneness and reverence for life than I have experienced since humanity's fall from grace eons ago. Now that I am experiencing Christ consciousness, I am able to easily communicate with my I Am presence, my Father, Mother, God, and the entire company of heaven through the natural process of open heart and mind telepathic communication. I realize now, as never before, that Christ consciousness is my divine birthright as a beloved son or daughter of God. In this level of consciousness, I am one with my Father, Mother, God, and every particle and wave of life throughout the whole of creation. Now that I am living, moving, breathing, and being within the elevated state of Christ consciousness, all that my Father, Mother, God have is mine. I now know and comprehend in new and profound ways that the path of divine love is the way, the truth, and the life for every son and daughter of God. With the God-victorious return of my Mother God's love and my return to Christ consciousness, I now have the ability to assimilate the entire nature of God's divine love into my heart flame on every in-breath. As I rise endlessly toward the supreme source of all life. And on every out-breath, I have the ability to expand the patterns of perfection for the new earth into the world of form, greatly enhancing my ability to co-create heaven on earth. My Mother God is at long last able to release the full potential of her divine love through my heart flame. This allows the balance of the divine masculine and the divine feminine to become a manifest reality within every person's heart, thus reversing and healing the adverse effects of humanity's fall from grace once and for all. The light now flowing through my heart chakra and my newly balanced heart flame is creating an environment of divine love that is now flooding the planet. When I return my attention to the balanced expression of my Father, Mother, God pulsating in my heart flame, the illusion of separation and duality is shattered. My heart is unified with the hearts of all of the sons and daughters of God evolving on earth. And once again, I experience the bliss of knowing that we are one and that love is all there is. Knowing this profound truth evokes from within the deepest recesses of my being a reverent feeling of infinite gratitude. Now, in Christ consciousness, and within the full divine momentum of my Father God's power and my Mother God's love, I affirm with deep conviction, I am a Christ conscious being, a very powerful light. I am a force of God moving upon this planet. I am an upward rushing force of vibration and consciousness, which is the immortal, victorious threefold flame pulsating within my heart. My heart flame is the electronic aura spiraling around me. God's infinite light perpetually flows through my aura, and I am one with this light. Beloved Father, Mother, God, I love and adore you. Please shine through my every effort of becoming one with your divine power and love. Let your divine love flow through me to set all life free. Allow me to be love's open door. As I accelerate my journey toward eternal oneness with you, I consciously draw back to myself all of my own energies that I am so desirous of loving free. Help me, beloved Father, Mother, God, to love myself free and all of my returning energy, as I am about the business of loving all life free. I am reclaiming all of my energies back into the heart of love. I am the light of God in action, loving me and all life free. I am grateful to the violet flame, the most powerful aspect of my Father, Mother, God's love and power, which instantly transmutes all outstanding energy back into its original perfection. I am one with my I Am Presence and the I Am Presence of all humanity. I am one with my Father, Mother, God. I am that I am. And so it is.
And so be it, everyone. I was just going to say that we have to just look around us a little bit. We can see that the power of the light emanating from our hydrogen sun is increasing ever so exponentially every moment. And there are these series. I haven't had time to play hardly any of them, but I've got a lot of them recorded. But there's a series, they're called E2 Design. And this is Brad Pitts. And I remember, wasn't he down there at Katrina? Wasn't it him that was down there getting in his own boat and pulling all kinds of dogs and people and everything out of trouble and boating them to shore and stuff? But anyway, he's got one of these E2 Designs, which is talking about architecture and design, and it's talking about all the different new designs, solar and geothermal and stuff that's going on in New Orleans. And it's just exciting. It's everywhere. But and there's 500 new places and businesses going now. And the thing is that they're not allowing, although the powers with money have, to a certain extent, but the these NGOs, these non-governmental organizations, are... Oh, that's another thing we didn't talk about today. Tom the Cat, we didn't finish that. Somebody gave Bernie Sanders $1 million. Who was that, Rama? Bono. Bono gave Bernie Sanders $1 million. And then two others right behind him. Yeah. And who was that, Rama?
Paul McCartney and Ringo.
Paul McCartney and Ringo each gave another $1 million to Bernie Sanders. And, you know, that's just for starters. Yet, like we said, this is not about Bernie. This is about grassroots movement. And Bernie Sanders really is going for the whole enchilada. But it doesn't matter to him whether or not he is the president. I'm going to say it in the way that he is working in a team with Elizabeth Warren and Randy Rhodes and Oprah Winfrey and Michelle Obama. She was by phone, but the others went down to Oprah Winfrey's home in Costa Rica and spent about 4 or 5 days, very long extended weekend, plus a couple of others. And they just really, you might say, made a plan to harness what needs to be harnessed in all the various role plays that can be made, and to have those powerhouses that they represent with a knownness about them out there in the field and drawing all this energy that at a grassroots level gets to have this autonomous feeling that they're actually the ones that are engaged now and making this living and breathing sovereign activity of world group service. And like Kathy was saying, what's an NGO? It's a non-government organization, and a governmental organization. There can be, you know, still misappropriated activities going on with that vehicle too, yet the vehicle is there for what you want to make of it inside the International Criminal Court. The Aboriginal Moabite Nation is a non-governmental organization, which is a nation that covers the globe without any borders. And it's bringing together all the indigenous knowledge, language, culture, ceremony, orders of nature and the teachings thereof. And we're all part of that because that's who we are. Yet, like Judy Beebe said, hydrogen bursts light. There's no more 3 days of sun being gone. And that was a manipulation of the mind and the CERN operation, which is shut down. It's called the Hadron, right? Mm-hmm. The Hadron what?
The Hadron. Super Collider,
right. Yeah. And we should go and listen to him for a while because Nassim Haramein, we're going to start on a new one. This came out in May of 2014. Yeah, Rama started listening, and it's really good because it's called Relearning Reality. And he takes that super collider stuff and throws it out the window. But let's listen to a little bit of him before we go tonight. Here we go. Let's get started on this.
My name is Nassim Haramein. Thanks for coming, all of you. We've got people from everywhere. Portland, Ashland, Reno, all the way from Reno. It's great. Thank you all for being here. So, today we had a big day. A lot of information is going to flow through this room today. And we're going to go through all the physics from universal size object right down to subatomic particle, going through consciousness, ancient civilization, chemistry, biology, and so on. So We've got a big agenda. It's going to be fun. And it's going to take a little time. So be comfortable. Make sure you are comfortable. Make sure you have enough water to lubricate your brain. Lubrication. And make sure that, you know, if you have to, you know, that you eat enough and all this so your blood sugar doesn't drop too far. Sometimes I see people, you know, that I see smoke starting to come out of the ears. Then I know there's, like, damage being done. So we'll try to avoid that today.
Almost too loud.
Oh, okay. Maybe we can turn that down on the board. Which one is that? That one there. Low, 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 low. Okay. Is that better?
Yeah.
Good. I've been having a little bit of trouble with my throat, so usually I just project, but today I'm going to try to be nice to my voice. Yeah. Get good lubrication going. So, go ahead. The break schedule is when I see everybody's turning purple because they have to go to the washroom and stuff. No, so. Actually, if you guys are really exhausted and you need a break, you know, just let me know because I just keep on going. I just go and go for like 13 hours. So, you know, sometimes I forget about the crowd. And so, oops. So, but in general, I'm going to try to break around 1 o'clock or 12:30, and then we'll reconvene for a little more, and then we'll have lunch around 2, and then come back, and then I have the evening sessions. We might be here for a while. So, you know, I was asked to present a bunch of different things today that I usually don't have time to present, so I'm going to try to squeeze it in. So especially a section on the Knights Templar that I usually don't present. I'm going to talk real fast. One thing that that happens is that when I'm presenting this information, there's a certain amount of complexity. Although the concepts are really simple and you're going to get them right away, there's a certain amount of complexity. There's a certain amount of rewiring that occurs from things that you've been taught and from just a new way of thinking coming in. And that takes a little bit of time. And what happens is that if you have too many questions that are unanswered, then it starts piling up. And that's when I start noticing people turning, you know, white. And, you know, it's like, oh, my God, they're going to explode. And so, you know, because it makes like a dam of all the things that are not figured out. So I'm going to allow you today interrupt me and ask questions. But it's going to have to be like really, really crucial for you to interrupt me and ask questions. Otherwise, you know, I just get interrupted too much and it breaks the flow and it's really hard to get all the information. So before you ask questions, please think about it or see if I'm going to answer that question shortly after because commonly that happens. But if it's really piling up and you just cannot go forward in the thinking without getting those questions answered, please just interrupt me. You can start screaming, you know, jump up and down or something. I'll get the signal. So I'm going to go through the information today in a little bit of a chronological way, how I came up with it and how it changed my life and how my life evolved as the information evolves. And you'll see that although this information can get extremely complex, extremely fast, the way I learned about it, the way I learned it, makes it easy because it was just a series of logical progression that I teach typically to even 7 years old. And actually, some of the seven or older kids commonly after the talks come up to me and say, "Are you sure the other physicists don't think this way?" And I'm like, "I really checked it out." I spent 20 years checking it out. They really don't think this way. And it boggles their mind because it's kind of obvious and it's kind of instinctive. It's not kind of instinctive, it's instinctive. And funny, it's a funny thing that, like, commonly now, they think of these thoughts as counter-instinctive. But I think they're quite instinctive. And they got counter-instinctive as a result of confusion. In the early early ages, when we learned some of the foundations of our reality at school. So that's really what happened. At the age of seven, I had a bunch of esoteric experiences. And we're not going to get into that. But, I had an intuition, and I definitely had experiences that told me that there was something else than the reality we observe. That, like, the reality is just like a little bitty part of what's going on. Just like if you'd like the electromagnetic spectrum has a section that we see and then there's a whole bunch we don't see. And the part that we don't see has huge impact on the physics of the part that we see. And I felt that very early, you know, until they discovered, for instance, X-ray and infrared and long wavelengths and so on, they thought that all there was the visible spectrum. And, you know, it became clear later on that there wasn't, that there was much more. And I think that it's becoming clear now in current that there is a whole bunch of stuff going on that we're not aware of that is actually generating the part that we are aware of. So when I was seven, I noticed this. I had experience that made me notice this. So when I got to the age of 10 and I got into my first geometry class and the teacher went to the blackboard and said, "Today we're going to learn about dimensions," I thought, that's it. Oh my God. Finally, somebody is going to explain to me what's this other world about, you know, these other dimensions that I felt were present. I got really excited. I was like, oh my God, finally an adult that's going to talk about something real, you know, and something that makes sense to me. So the teacher started the lesson and I got really, really disappointed. Experiencing earlier on in my life, but he actually gave me one of the major key to the evolution of this theory and to its conclusion and then to its proof that is now being peer-reviewed in many universities around the U.S. and from scientists that are looking at it from NASA and so on. So it's really exciting. And that, at the age of 10, made it. What the teacher did is he went to the blackboard, and we'll call this our blackboard today, and he made a dot. And he said, the dot is dimension zero, and it doesn't exist. And I went, okay. I can see it, but it doesn't exist. And, you know, I was near the door in the back of the room. I was always closest to the door because I was having so much problems at school. And, you know, I'm like, okay, whatever, you know, if you got a dot that didn't exist, I can go with that for now. And then he said, this is a series of dots that he placed together and made a line and said, this is dimension one, and it doesn't exist either. It still doesn't have volume. And, you know, that seems consistent to me. Then he placed a bunch of lines that are made out of dots together, made a plane, called it 2D, and said, this is the dimension that you live, that your comic strips lived in. It still doesn't exist. It still doesn't have volume. Well, until then, although, you know, it was kind of a bizarre approach, it was consistent. But then he did something that seemed like a miracle. He grabbed six of these planes and put them together on the blackboard, made a cube, and said, this is dimension three, 3D, that one you exist in. And I was in the back of the room, and I'm like, oh my God, how can that be? And I could tell that all the other kids in the room were like, huh? You know, but nobody was saying anything. I was about to put my hand up because I knew the next thing that was going to happen is the door was going to get open and I was going to get kicked out again. So I didn't want to do that. So I didn't say anything, but it didn't make sense because it's like that was a mystery cube. Because if you have a dot that doesn't exist, that makes a line that doesn't exist, that makes a plane that doesn't exist, you slap six non-existing planes together, you don't get existence. All you get is non-existence to the four. Okay? It's got nothing to do with existence. You just have got a bunch of non-existing dots together, so nothing exists. And that was not logical. I have a tendency to be an extremely logical human being. And it turns out that Buckminster Fuller, I found out later, had the same problem at school. He wrote about it in his book. And he didn't understand how this worked neither, and he didn't think it was correct. And actually, through my research, I found that this is an ancient riddle. It's mentioned in ancient manuscripts that are from the Middle East and so on. And there is all sorts of treaties about this problem, although this problem is the foundation of our understanding of physics and dimensions. And all of our knowledge is actually based on it. And it creates a lot of problems. This simple riddle that is unsolved has generated a whole set of distortion in our society and in the way we do physics and the way we understand the universe and how we relate to it. And we're going to see that today. We're going to see this error just come back and bite us in the butt every time we come around the corner.
Okay, we got a really long introduction, but you're getting a feeling for him sharing at the level that he said we could do this with a seven-year-old. So we're just getting started, and this is called, again, Relearning Reality. All right, and this was published May 5th, 2014. Let's just see what our unicorns are up to. Unicorns, aren't they extinct in the modern world? Poor little fellow, he must feel sort of lonesome. Tennessee Williams said that. And I was just going to say that sometimes that's how it's felt. And there's something changing about that. As we felt though, like a lonely little petunia in an onion patch, life has changed, and we are getting ready to play in a field of the future in the now. Let's get started with the Nisara now, huh, everybody? We'll see you tomorrow. Life has just begun, and inshallah, we are all another ourselves. And Sat Nam to you all, and let's have that music, maestro. Music, maestro. Namaste, everybody.